Welcome back on and to another episode of the Lads Talking Footy podcast. It is myself, Sam, joined by my right-hand man in Jordan Tana. Mate, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm just calling, I'm checking in, seeing if you're healthy, because I've been looking at the injury reports, man, and it seems like everyone is going down like flies, bro. So hopefully you're all good. Please don't tell me you're on the injury list.
No, I'm not at the moment. I mean, we did have a preseason game on the weekend. I copped a forearm to the throat and I was sounding a bit like Darren Lockyer, but the voice has come through. So if there is a little bit of croakiness as we start going on, that's what's happened. I'm not gargling or something partway through, but yeah, I'm fit and healthy. I don't know about those buggers out there at the moment. It is only round three and the injury list is heating up. I mean, my first headline straight off the bat is Tino. He's suffered an ACL rupture in the Titans 32-0 loss against the Bulldogs over the weekend. Now, look, it's super sad news for Tino, but it's a huge blow for the Titans. And are we potentially looking at the new spoon favourites?
Yeah, man. It's not looking good for them. They've scored, 4 points in two games so far, and now they're missing their captain, Tino Fasua-Malawi. And David Fifita still hasn't been around, and they just haven't looked good. I mean, I trust Des Hasler as a pretty good coach. His track record is quite good. So I think he can, you know, inspire these boys to get wins here and there. And they do still have some talent with AJ Brimson. And I think they're going to look a whole lot different with Jaden Campbell. We'll get to my predictions later. But, yeah, it is rough right now as it sits. As if it was a power ranking for the Wooden Spoon, they'd be number one or number 17, however you want to put it. But, yeah, tough times in Gold Coast with your two foundational forwards both being out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, like you said, we'll get to it in the team previews. Jaden Campbell back for them is going to be huge. And Fifita has been named on the extended bench for them, so I think we are going to see his return pretty close. But it's the boys up front, man, and Tino sets the tone for that team week in and week out. And it's not like we've got – it's an ACL rupture as well. So I do hope that the big fella comes back stronger than ever, because it is a huge blow for them. But on the other side of that, I'm sort of looking at it, and we've got State of Origin that is going to start creeping up shortly as well. And it is a good, it is a nice one for the Blues fans, so I will take that one. But yeah, tough blow for the Titans. Now, Jackson Hastings, on the weekend, he finished with 5 try assists in the Knights 50-24 win over the Bears, who were second on the table, and the Knights were in last place coming into this one. 5 try assists, absolutely wild. To me, the dude's got to be in first grade. I don't think the answer was Cogger and Gamble on the weekend. Gamble had a shocker with the boot.
Nah.
I mean, what's going on? If he's not on that Knights roster, should he be somewhere else? Or do we see this sort of just, how's this all playing out for them?
I think Hastings has proven over the last couple of years, even with a stint at the Tigers, that he still has value as a first grader. So I don't think this is the end of his chapter for him. I don't think he's going to end up staying down there in second in New South Wales Cup. 5 try assists is fucking impressive, just first and foremost. That's even more than like what you'd see from a Scott Drinkwater A game. So that is very impressive from Jackson Hastings. Yeah, in terms of, he could still play for the Knights. I think their offense is just a little more controlled and ticks over a little better when he is starting for the Knights. I know it's pretty early days to see what the Cogger Knights look like, but it's, you know, it didn't look great. They got the win, and that's going to keep Hastings in that second side for now. But, yeah, Jackson Hastings still deserves a chance. There's plenty of teams that, you know, get injuries here and there. There's plenty of injuries at the moment that could use a Jackson Hastings to just steer a team around the field and get them crucial territory and even, you know, make the right decisions in the strike zone. So I don't think this is it for Jackson Hastings. The only reason I could see him maybe being on the out is he is a veteran player, so he is probably a loud voice in that locker room. And if he doesn't feel like, he's probably quick to vocalize his opinions, and that could rub coaching staff or maybe higher ups the wrong way. So maybe there's a bit of that going on. I haven't heard any rumors or anything, but I just know how those old heads are. So Jackson Hastings, I hope he gets an opportunity somewhere else, because he can add good value to a team.
Yeah, I agree. Now we go from 1-7 to another, and that is the Bunnies. So they have lost 12 of their last 16 games. So that's obviously including last year. It is looking pretty bleak out there. I mean, we've got a lot of noise within camp. The veterans butting heads with Cody Walker, Latrell. I mean, things didn't really change. I think on the weekend, in terms of Dean Hawkins, he comes in, but nothing really leveled up from there. They got absolutely welt. Do you see a world where they go Lachlan Ilias? Maybe he was the problem, maybe he wasn't the problem, but we're going to go, okay, Cody Walker, you can go into halfback now and see if you can fix this, and we're going to put Wyden in at six and just tick those boxes. Do you think that's something that we're potentially going to end up seeing before Ilias either comes back or Dean Hawkins rectifies it? Or what do you think the next plan of attack is going to be for Demetrio? Because he's going to have to make a tough decision soon, or they're going to make a tough decision on him.
Exactly. He's got about a month left if this continues for the Rabbitohs, because they haven't looked good. In terms of the half situation, I think Cody Walker, I know he hasn't played great in the opening few rounds, but there's still juice in the tank, and he's still got to be the focal point of this offense, whether you pair him with a Jack Wyton or an Ilias. I thought Hawkins added a little bit more than Ilias in terms of a kicking game. I thought he had a better touch with the boot to ball. Ilias, you know, in the first couple of rounds was really struggling with some shocking kicks. But yeah, I don't think it starts with the halves problem. I mean, you got to have Walker and just mix and match him with whoever's being quality in the reserves grade or who has been showing up at trainings. It's just the voice of the team. He's got to get that back, because they actually showed up with that game with like no energy, just looked flat from the get-go, were absolutely physically outclassed by the Roosters. And they just didn't look like they wanted it, you know? So I think there is more problems than just the half situation in the Rabbitohs. And I don't see it changing for them anytime soon. I think Demetrio's on the way out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you've hit the nail on the head. I don't think it is the halves situation solely alone. I think this is a lot of internal, potentially not even the team alone. So it will be interesting to see what happens for the Bunnies moving forward. They do need a win this weekend, because it could turn pretty bleak for them. Now we move into the Punters Club recap from the weekend. So we had 62 units staked and we had a 47.9 unit collect. So a little bit short for us. Super Saturday was pretty tough. Our best friend of the show, Kyle Fout, let us down. And the Sharkies debacle sort of stitched us up as well. So our best win from the weekend was a Tom Turbo into Jackson Polo. Anytime try scorer at $6. So like we said, every week, if you want free tips, hit the link in the bio and we'll be happy to help. As for our best bets, though, accountability. So I had the Panthers minus 10.5 at $1.95. The Warriors 1-12 at $3.25. Dom Young anytime try scorer at $2.05. So we went three quick off the bat there. We went into either team 1-12, and that Dogs game at $1.57 went down there. Our best friend Kyle Fout, $2, let us down. Sione Katoa anytime try scorer let us down there. Tommy Turbo, though, anytime try scorer $2.55, we went in. Coates, anytime try scorer $2.55, we went down there. And as for the repeat set and the 40-20 bets, we flopped there as well. After the round, though, we had a 3.8 unit collect, so it was still positive. The wires really helped us there, so that takes our current units to plus 26.45 units there. How did you go, JT?
Yeah, so in terms of the picks, I got 6 from 8, and out of the best plays, I started off with the Broncos plus 9.5. That was a bit of a wishy-washy one. That failed. Warriors 1-12 came through. Roosters 1-12. That failed. Unfortunately, they got more than that. Bulldogs head-to-head went through. Cowboys minus 7.5. That came through for us. And then the one that got everyone, the Sharks 13+. That failed. I backed your Birds, Sea Eagles, head-to-head. They unfortunately went down. And they ended it off with a nice win with the Knights 1-12 coming through to end the week. So about 4 plays came through in terms of my best bets. The repeat set bet, the Cowboys hit the minus 7.5 line. So that's 2 weeks in a row. The repeat set bet has come through. So we're kind of Sean Johnson there getting a bunch of repeat sets for us. And 40-20 bet, unfortunately, I can't hammer any of those. Warriors 1-12 came through, but the Sharks 13+, like I said before, pretty much took everyone down. So
yeah, that Sharks game was an absolute fucking shit show. Full credit to the Tigers for that one, though. Leichhardt Oval, they pulled a rabbit out of the hat in that one, which was bloody impressive. It looks like they are going to still stay strong and end up getting rid of Leichhardt, but fantastic scenes for Benji Marshall. We move on to the power play from the round, though. Brought to you by TBC Live. Download the app. Fantastic. They're giving away some cool prizes at the moment. I think at the moment, the next couple of weeks, they're going to be doing $100 gift vouchers for the NRL store. So load up, watch the footy, throw in a couple of predictions, and you might win yourself a new jersey as well to support your team. But my power play moment of the week was Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's try in the 64th minute against the Canberra Raiders. Scoots across the line. Instead of that silky footwork that we're all used to seeing, he just showed brute strength. He powered through Hudson-Young. Hopewadi couldn't stop him. He closed the game for the Warriors in this one. And I think we're left with the question now of, I mean, it's been answered for us in this week. Tane Tuipuki is out due to concussion injury. A result of concussion. But if we don't have CNK in the lineup, I think Roger is the green light for at the back there. I get they don't want to mess with the defensive scheme, having him in the defensive line, the rotations and all of that. But it was fantastic, and he linked really well on the edges, and he just showed what he can bring. Absolutely fantastic from Roger. Sealed the game, brute strength, doesn't need to do the footwork all the time. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, I've been super impressed by Roger in the first couple of weeks. I did have some questions on his defense, but he seemed to be holding solid. But his attack looks like he hasn't missed a beat. Like, his footwork is still fantastic. He's still beating the first man every time. And he's kind of looked dangerous and looked really hungry for the ball as well. He's always putting up a good kick chase and getting those opportunities. So, Tuivasa-Sheck, man, your Dally M Centre of the Year prediction might not be too far off.
Yeah, there we go. Lock it in, man. Socks down, calves out. He's looking fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. Another guy that was looking fantastic that I know you probably wanted to give a highlight to in the performance, but I thought the Roosters had an absolutely fantastic game. This guy was at the forefront of it, but Sandon Smith did some absolute magic off a Terrell May offload that hit the ground, volley kicking it off the ground, and he just perfectly put it right on the money to Joseph Manu, who the athlete he is, jumped up, caught it, scored a great try in the corner. So I just thought it was real interesting that he was able to put such a perfectly placed kick off a half volley sort of thing and put it right on the money. Sandon Smith, fantastic game all around, and the Roosters, dominant effort. So there had to be some highlight plays out of it, and I think this was the one.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, you touched on it. I was going to do him as my performance of the round. It was a game where we had all eyes on one halfback, but then on the other side of it, Sandon Smith just, he really shone out for me, and I think moving forward for the Roosters is going to be fantastic. You got the young fella who's going to complement Sammy Walker really well, and they've got a lot of young talent in that back line that's coming through, and I think you can sort of hang your coat on him and know that it's going to be all right, because he was fantastic, I thought, in that. My performance, though, of the round now, I'm going to go Lockie Galvin. He finished with one try assist, one tackle break, three offloads, two line break assists, and 85 run meters. Now, he wasn't the Tigers' best, he wasn't the second best, and he wasn't the third best for them, but this kid can play, and the Tigers have one for the future. Only 18 years old, he hasn't touched a squat rack. The kid can play, and he's fantastic. He's so confident. I thought it was going to be a switch up between, it was going to be Caesar and Sullivan to start the year, but Lockie Galvin got that first shot at it. He was fantastic in game one, and then in this one, absolutely fantastic again. He looks so confident. He's demanding the ball. When it comes to it, he's looking strong in contact. He's only 18-year-old kid. He came through the ranks as a second row, I believe, but he looks very comfortable in that 5'8 role, and he's got a good running game on him as well. Very composed, too. You've got a game where the Sharkies are up, the Tigers are up over the Sharkies in this one. And to keep a level head and to just keep getting through your sets and keep on top of it and keep doing what's working, I thought was very, very impressive from him. I've only seen two outings, but yeah, man, I think once he develops, it's not going to be this year and it's not going to be next year. Over time, it's going to be fantastic. And I'm looking forward to seeing him pair up with Luai as well moving forward.
Yeah, he's looked good, man. He's looked real comfortable. And then also, you say, you know, he hasn't hit the squat rack, but he's got a good frame, man. So I reckon he can build into something, because he's about 6'3". And he's already looking quite strong in contact already. Justin Olam to set him three, which led to their first try. So, you know, he's got a lot of potential, bro. In terms of my performance, we have looked at the future. Now I'm going to look at the present. It's a bit of a generic one, but I just thought he played outstanding, man. And that was Nathan Cleary from the Panthers. Once again, fantastic. Fingerprints all over a 34-12 victory for them. 75 fantasy points, 10 points on 5 or 6 conversions, 106 run meters, 1 line break, 3 line break assists, 3 try assists, 3 tackle breaks, 291 kick meters in just 71 minutes. Just proving once again why he is the cream of the crop in terms of halves in this competition. Plays with such precise timing. Like, he can't be rushed. He's kind of like Luka Doncic in the NBA. Like, when he gets the ball on a strike play and he does those double dummy cuts, he kind of waits for the defense to make their decision, and he just holds it up perfectly, and he set Targo free with one of them, and then also delivered the right pass that I think led to, it was like a hockey assist of a try in the second half. So, man, he is just fantastic, bro. I love that double dummy cut play. And then he could have had another try assist if Dylan Edwards, you know, didn't overrun the play. Dylan Edwards, I think, got a little too cocky and wanted to show off the pace and then overran Nate Cleary. So he could have had another one there, broke the line with a beautiful fin. He's just the man, bro, and he keeps, you know, impressing every week. It's going to be hard-pressed for, you know, someone to come and push him for that best player in the competition status. I mean, Nico Hines kind of had a shocker in the weekend. Everyone else seems to be getting injured. Now Cleary's injured, which is ironic, but yeah, he's just the best, bro.
Yeah, I agree, man. The chin. He's just absolutely fantastic. And you look at this Panthers team, and Tango's having a fantastic season, and you've got all these pieces around them. And that's what you're going to hang these championships on, and that's what's going to get them there. But you've got this halfback and this guy that can just set these things up. You know he's going to be consistent. You know he's going to be, like you said, the best player in the comp. Consistent, the fucking man. And I agree. He's just, no one is overtaking him at the moment. And that is why the Panthers are just going to be consistently good, because these guys are going to dig deep for him. You've got Moses Leota and you've got Fisher-Harris that know they're going to do the dirty work, and he's going to end up finishing, get them to their sets. He's going to finish them off well with these with his kicks, or like you said, he's just going to end up putting in a masterclass with all these try assists, and he's just absolutely fantastic. It's a shame that he's out. I mean, we had hung our hats on him getting this Dally M award, so he's going to miss a couple of games now in that hunt for it, so that is a shame.
Yeah, I will just say this is going to be a very interesting period for the Panthers coming up, because they still have Fisher-Harris out. They've got Luai kind of looking towards the future. He hasn't played too bad in the first couple of games. He's actually been pretty good. But, yeah, it's just going to be an interesting few weeks with Cleary being out, because the team isn't quite what it was. Oh, I mean, we say this every year, but it seems on paper like it's not quite what it was in the last 3 years where they won the premiership. So, very interesting time coming up. If they lose some games, they could be in a bit of trouble come, you know, playoff time.
I agree. The top of the table is going to tighten up. And we're going to jump into the preview now. All of these odds are accurate as of Tuesday at 6 p.m. And we're kicking off with the Roosters and the Panthers at Allianz Stadium, which is why I wanted to get into it. The Roosters have now shifted to $1.60 favourites, with the Panthers at $2.35 underdogs, and the line is sitting at 3.5. So for the Chooks, Carey back in, Lindsay Smith ruled out. As for the Panthers, though, Sorensen and Cleary are out, with Schneider and Garner who move in for them. So the Panthers have a 45% win rate here, while the Roosters have a 64%. Now, the Panthers have won their last 9 games in a row against the Roosters, and 3 of their last 4 victories have also been by a 13-plus margin. The Panthers have also won 3 of their last 4 Thursday night games. Now, I think we all had Penrith in this one before the injury news came out on Nathan Cleary, which is why I will shy away for them in this one. I am still very keen to take them. I think this is a perfect time for Luai to step up. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think this is one of those games where everyone could go, Nathan Cleary's not in, the Roosters are going to win it. You've got those role players. You've got these guys like Dylan Edwards that can step up. Mitch Kenny, I think he's going to have a massive game on defense. And it might be low scoring, and they might grind it out being on a Thursday as well. But I'm going to take the Roosters in this one.
Yeah, and I have to agree, man. But, you know, in doing my research for this match, all of it pointed towards the Panthers. So it was kind of like, it's hard to justify a really good reason as to picking the Roosters here. But the one reason that I can hang my hat on, the same as what you have done, is basically goes hand in hand to the praise we were just laying on him before, and that's that Cleary is out, and he was so instrumental in their huge win over the Broncos last week. He had his fingerprints all over that game. And then they're also missing Fisher-Harris and Sorensen, like you said, as well. So, you know, against a full strength Roosters, pretty much. It's, they're pretty much at full strength. And the physicality they brought last week, they showed really good physicality on defense and have conceded less points than the Roosters this year as well. So they've been putting it in on the defensive end, and they've looked better on attack when getting into the strike zone. You know, last year they, you know, couldn't score against a 10-man team because their offense was that bad in the first half of the season. But it looks like they've addressed those issues. James Tedesco is playing great, setting up tries and stuff like that. You know, I think this will be close. I don't know which way this result is going to go. It is at Sydney, which is the Sydney home ground. But the Panthers can still make this one competitive. Like you said, they've won 12 of the last 15 without Cleary since 2022. So, such a talented team. It's hard to put a margin or a cover for the Roosters, but I'm just going to back them head-to-head at $1.57. I know it's a bit of a cop-out, but I'm not confident enough to say the Roosters will win this game out and out.
Yeah, it's a doozy of a game to kick off on a Thursday night as well. We're going to get all our picks in. And the first one off the rank is we just don't know what we're doing. We're sitting on the fence.
Yeah.
My best bet for this game, though, is Dylan Edwards. He has scored a try against the Roosters in his last two matches. You can get him here at $4. I reckon that is well overs for Dylan Edwards. In a game with no Nathan Cleary, someone's going to have to step up. And I think he will be that guy around Luai. So, yeah, Dylan Edwards, anytime try scorer at $4 there. Now, the Bunnies, they take on the Bulldogs at Accor Stadium. The Rabbitohs are $1.48 favourites. The Bulldogs are $2.65 underdogs, with the line sitting at 6.5. Both sides remain unchanged from last week. The Bunnies have decided to roll out the exact same same lineup they've got. The only switch is Saliva Havili. We'll move back to the bench with Damien Cook starting. Dean Hawkins obviously retains. Now, both have a 50% win rate at Accor Stadium. The Bulldogs won their most recent meeting, but before that, the Bunnies had won their last five games in a row. South Sydney, they do not look good. There is so much noise surrounding that club. It's absolutely ridiculous, but something's got to give. When you've got Latrell Mitchell, you've got Damien Cook, you've got Cam Murray, you've got Jack Wyden, those guys don't roll over too easily. The Dogs got their game out last weekend, I think, and I think the Bunnies are going to get their dub in this one, and that's why I'm backing them here.
Yeah, I mean, it's sound logic. Doing the research of the past results, it's hard to get a read on, you know, just what those results say because the Bulldogs have made such wholesale changes in the offseason. But the Rabbitohs are fielding a very similar team that beat the Bulldogs 50-16 last year. I know they would eventually lose to the Bulldogs 36-32 later in the year, but that was a very depleted squad. So when the Rabbitohs are at full strength, they do have the stick over the Bulldogs. They were just shocked by the Roosters' physicality last week on defense and the directness on attack. And they will see a noticeable drop from this Bulldogs team. I know they've kind of impressed last week and they've been somewhat competitive in their first two losses. But they will notice a definite drop in intensity from that Roosters pack. And the Rabbitohs have looked all right through the middle with Havili, Kolomatangi and Totola still playing pretty good despite these results. If the Rabbitohs do show up as flat as they did last week, the Bulldogs are definitely live. Definitely live. And I almost did consider taking the plus six and a half line because, man, the Rabbitohs looked so bad last week and the Bulldogs are a momentum team and could turn this result over. But I think they're going to look probably the best they have out of these first 3 weeks. The offense is going to start clicking on that left side. They'll get a few tries. I've just got the Rabbitohs with another eat-ass pick head-to-head at $1.48 because I just can't trust this Rabbitohs team, how it's looked at the moment, how it's looked on attack to go 13+. But I think they will get the job done in this one.
Nice. My best bet for this game, a fullback for the Rabbitohs has scored 6 tries in the last 3 encounters between the Dogs and the Bunnies. I've got Latrell Mitchell here anytime at $2.55. Someone's got to step up, and it's got to be Latrell in this one. So I'm backing him in for a try here. Now the Broncos, they take on the Cowboys at Suncorp Stadium. The Cowboys are $1.82 favourites, with the Broncos at $2 underdogs, and the line sits at 1.5. Now, the Broncos, they'll be without Reece Walsh and Pierre Kura out today. Still no Payne Haas for them, but Reynolds comes back in. For the Cowboys, Labour is back in and straight into that starting role at centre. The Broncos have dominated the Cowboys over history. The Cowboys have only got a 43% win rate at Suncorp, and the Broncos have won the last 3 meetings between these two. But the Cowboys looked vulnerable against the Dragons last week, but then they brought it back with that red-hot attack. Warning bells for me went off again. I'd said after round 1, fantastic attack. I really like what we're seeing. I want to see them up against some good defense. The Dragons don't have a fantastic attack. The Broncos, I think the Cowboys are very lucky to be coming into this one with no Reece Walsh, with no Payne Haas, guys that can set the platform and guys that can skin them on the edge. So I don't think, don't judge this game if it is a Cowboys result off what's going to happen later down the track. I want to see a little bit more consistency from them and put teams away that they should put teams away easily. But with that all being said, the Broncos have chinks in the armor. No Reece Walsh is huge. Tristan Saylor, I think, is kind of a like-for-like player for Reece Walsh coming in. Obviously not like-for-like, but they play a similar sort of style, so he'll be sweeping around the back there. But, yeah, look, I'm going to take the Cowboys in this one.
Yeah. Another ugly game. Three ugly games in a row with a whole lot of question marks surrounding them. But I think I agree with you, man. The Cowboys, you know, they do have question marks themselves, but the Broncos are missing two stars in Walsh and Piakura, while the Cowboys are once again at full strength. And last week showed more than anything the value of Reece Walsh. I know Tristan Saylor can do somewhat of a replica job to what Walsh can do, but Walsh has the best acceleration in the NRL. I will hang my hat on that. He is the fastest over 30 yards out of anyone in the NRL. And I think the offense just doesn't look the same with his spark and his threat on attack. So with him out, with still no Haas, they're going to be struggling to establish dominance through the middle, which is maybe an area where they could catch the Cowboys, but the forward pack's looking a little depleted as well. And, you know, the Cowboys have run up a 20-point half in every game so far, and the Broncos were down big 34-2 before the 60-minute mark last week. So this version of the Broncos, this depleted version, can get cut up. I'm not saying they will, because, you know, they are still a quality team, but they're missing the key ingredients that makes the Broncos tick. And I don't think a Reynolds kicking game and some random X-Factor plays from Cobble and Staggs are going to get the job done. So once again, third eat-ass pick in a row just because of the ugliness of it. I'm going Cowboys head-to-head at some decent value at $1.80. I know they're away from home, but they should get this one done. So $1.80 is pretty good for me.
Yeah, I like it. My best bet for this one, Jeremiah Nanai has scored 6 tries in his last 3 games against the Broncos. You can get him here at $3.75. That's where I'm going to hang my hat in this one. But I got a little side bet on this one. Tommy Dearden has scored in every single game this year. So I like him to go back in this one. We've got the young, the future Origin halves in Ezra Mamm and Tommy Dearden. I reckon that is a little jewel that's going to start to take forward, moving forward in the battle of Brizzy. So yeah, Tommy Dearden, that's a little bit of smoke in that one. Let's go 4-for-4 on that. Now, the Dragons, they take on Manly at Wynn Stadium. Manly are $1.33 favourites in this one. The Dragons, they are $3.30 underdogs, with the line sitting at 8.5. So little returns for the Dragons. Otherwise, there are no big changes for either side in this one. Manly, though, they have a shocking record here. 2-for-18 at Wynn Stadium, and the Dragons have won 5 of their last 6 games against them here. The Dragons have shown sides that can be a good outfit, but they also show a lot more that they are just a bottom four team. Tyrell Sloan on attack, absolutely fantastic. On defense, he just gets found out. Take him out of the line because guys are just targeting him. Let him sweep him behind, let him cover because he is just a big target. And you got a lot of big boys on that Manly team in this one. So if DCE does see old Tyrell Sloan in the line there, look for those short balls on Himole. For Burbo as well, he's looking fantastic for them too. So I will be picking the Bird Gang in this one. I think it will be a bit of a tight one though. These kind of hoodoo-y games, they don't play well at Wynn Stadium. The Dragons will be up for it. They don't travel well. They'll be gutted coming off that loss to the Eels on the weekend. I was spewing. I get that's a fucking an obstruction call. But it's an EDAS obstruction call. Fantastic signs for them though. And on the attacking side of it, they just got to pick up those kind of, or they got to win those games nonetheless. But anyway, I'll be taking the Bird Gang in this one.
Yeah. And I mean, the last game that they played at Wynn Stadium was 24-18. So, you know, they can play close away. That was without Turbo and Brooks though. So I do like the Seagulls to kind of run away with this one. It's good to have a game out of the first four that's finally got a bit of clarity and you don't have to stress about. I like the spread. I like the Eagles. I'm going to dub them the Spread Eagles because they like to shift the ball from wing to wing from anywhere on the field. So I like the Spread Eagles, man. I think they can, you know, have some good attacking moments in this game. The Dragons have also conceded an average of 42 points per game in their last two, which is danger signs against an attack that likes to get off like this one. So I think the Seagulls should be able to pump them, but I also like the over as the Eels prove that big forward packs with a little bit of X factor and a little bit of offloading ability can get tries on them, and they have conceded an average of 22 points per game themselves. So I'm going to take a couple plays here. I'm going to take the Seagulls 13 plus at $2.30 and the total points over 45.5 at $1.76.
Yeah, I like it. High scoring. I want to see that on my, I believe it's on a Sunday. So yeah, my best bet for this game is Hamole Olakau'atu. He's scored two tries in his last three matches against the Dragons. He's looked so dangerous to begin the season. That right edge is humming. I'm backing the big fella in this one, and you can get him at $3.10. Now, the Titans, they take on your team. Fins up at Seabus Super Stadium. The Dolphins are $1.65 favourites, and the Titans are $2.25 underdogs in this one. And the line is sitting at a Weasley 2.5. So Tino's obviously out for the Titans. Kenny is out with Jaden Campbell returning, and he slots straight back into that fullback role. For the Finns, Katoa and Nikarima, they still stay in the halves. No real changes other than that for them. Now, the Dolphins, they have a 100% record against the Titans, having won their last two matches against them by exactly 2 points. The Titans have been absolutely decimated by injuries, and they were left with a donut last week. I think the Finns get the Finns up coming off the bye in this one, but I do think Jaden Campbell is going to add a lot of flair to this attack, and he might be a difference maker in this one. Might be Campbell time, it might be Hammer time, but my best bet in this one is both teams have ended, they've both ended in a 1-12 victory in the last two games that they've played. So that's exactly what I'm going here. Either team to win by 1-12 at $1.80.
Well, I mean, if you split one of those games in half, the Titans actually beat them 26-0, but then lost in the second half 28-0. So
yes, yep.
One of those games was that epic comeback last year, but yeah. Dolphins still swept the Titans 2-0 last year. Full strength Dolphins team coming into this one. Off a bye as well, which, you know, Wayne Bennett will have them up and ready for this game with a little bit of an extra week to prepare. And with Katoa and Nikarima combo getting selected again, they worked really well in the last game. But the Titans do get Campbell back, but of course they go down Tino, one of the foundational star forwards for them. Big loss, captain as well. Have only scored 4 points in the last 160 minutes. But I agree with you. I agree with your points about Jaden Campbell. He will make a difference. I don't think it'll look as sluggish as it has been. But it's still just obviously not clicking on that left edge without Fifita there. So Dolphins destroyed the Dragons. I know NRL math doesn't work at all. But Dolphins destroyed the Dragons 38-0, which is a team that whooped the Titans in round one. So I'm going to back the Dolphins to get this one done. Campbell does change things, so I am scared of going a 13-plus margin. I do think they should win this game comfortably, but I think they're at good value here with the odds being so close. So I'm going to sneak some value and take the line at the bargain, -2.5 at $1.97.
Yeah, nice. Punters on Alofi Kanperera as well, top try scorer. He looked fantastic for them last year. They'll be absolutely spewing with what they're seeing this year. Just proves how much Foz and David Fifita really linked that left-hand side for them. And then you've got like threats like Jaden Campbell at the back, Brimo, who was there, that just add that little bit of extra deception.
Yeah.
So guys, they'll be spewing with that one.
It's like Titans are allergic to scoring tries at the moment. You see AJ Brimson bloody give it to Kieran Foran when he was over himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is wild. What'd you say? It was four points within 106 minutes or something? That's
160 minutes, yeah, two games.
That's fucked. That's not good for the Gold Coast Titans. Now the Warriors, they take on the Knights at Go Media Stadium. The Warriors are $1.44 favourites in this one. The Knights are at $2.80 underdogs with the line sitting at 6.5. So Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, socks down, carves out. He will replace Tane Tuipiki in this one. Wade Egan for the third straight week has been named. Whether he plays or not, we'll see. And Nakura, he has been named on interchange bench for them. So Jackson Ford's going to have to pull his socks up in this one because he is now fit and healthy and ready to go. And that lineup just got a whole lot juicier. Leo Thompson is out for the Knights, which is going to be a huge one for them up front. No Hastings as well. Gamble Okogo will retain the halves positions. Now the Knights have a 35% win rate here and have only won 8 of their 23 matches at Go Media Stadium. The last time they beat us in New Zealand was 2019. They've split their 4 most recent meetings between each other at 2 wins each. Now, we've all been hanging on to get back behind the Warriors at home in front of that stadium after a disappointing round one opener, and I have a feeling that Sunday Arvo is going to be absolutely packed. Warriors mana fans are going to bring their energy at home. I just, yeah, the Knights second year syndrome, I called it in our prediction. I think that's what we're going to continue to see from them. And the Warriors, I can see them absolutely decimating this Knights pack. And my best bet for this game is going to be the lock of the round. Dallin Watene-Zelezniak, who scored in their most recent reaching. And I think he's going to find his way to the end colon here. I think he might not even be in for two. We might have the Rabon James speech sitting here. It's two. It's three. You can get him anytime, though, at $1.87. That's where I'm going.
I love the pick, man. I love the pick. And, of course, I can't be wearing a Warriors jersey without going to Warriors as well. And just to back up your claim that there could be some magic, the last time we did play them, it was 40-10 with that magic victory in the semifinal in front of a packed-out home crowd. So I'm expecting them to have the same energy as they did in that one. They also beat them 20-12 last year at home in round one. So even when the Warriors were still trying to find themselves out, they can get the job done at Go Media Stadium. And then last week, they held their own against a pack that bullied the Knights in round one. And to be fair, on the Knights, the Raiders have kind of bullied everyone else so far as well. But, you know, we held our own, and the Knights do lose another physical presence in Leo Thompson, who, you know, is deservedly banned for trying to kill Paps. So, yeah, man. We do have a good advantage in that department. And I like the addition of Pompey coming in defensively against the threat of Ponga. He did a really good job in round one last year. So I think he can replicate that. And RTS at fullback, I want to have a look at it, because on attack this year, he has been looking very threatening and very good in space. So I want to see RTS with a bit more time to move and see what he can add to this offense. But yeah, man, I'm going to back the Warriors here. They left a lot of points out there against a solid team that beat the Knights in the Raiders. And I can see them putting on a clinic, like you said as well. But because the Knights are still quite strong, they got the Saifidi brothers up front. They got Ponga, who is always a dangerous player. I'm not going to go 13 plus. I am just going to stick at the line at -6.5 at $1.90. But I'm really got my fingers crossed, hoping for some Warriors magic and for them to completely blow the doors off. Because they've showed potential, especially against the Storm, that they have the ability to, you know, break a game open and score amazing tries off shape out the back line. So I'm expecting that to be this game and for them to show what the Warriors are all about.
Yeah, I like it. Now the Sharkies, they take on the Raiders at PointsBet Stadium. The Sharks are $1.50 favorites in this one. The Raiders are $2.60 underdogs with the line sitting at 5.5. For the Sharkies, huge outs for them. Finucan out, Royce Hunt out. Did his hammy in warm-up, and Toby Rudolph is out as well. Now we get to see Kyle Iroh move into the centre position, which we'd been talking about at the beginning of the year. We were quite excited to see if he would end up shifting in there, and we get to see Sefatai Talakai in its second row. Be interesting to see what he's like close to the ball, man. I feel like he's going to be an absolute wrecking ball in this one. Tough pack to go up against it, though. The Raiders, yep. Seb Chris is back, and Schiller will be moved onto the wing to replace Hopewade as well. Now, the Raiders, they have won 9 of their 20 games played here at PointsBet Stadium, and the Sharks have won the most recent meeting between these two sides. But the Raiders have won the last 9 games straight before that victory of the Sharks, and they have not beaten the Milk here since round 9, 2018. Absolutely decimated, or shocking stats here. Everything is pointing to the Raiders. Now, if the Sharks were not coming off that performance against the Tigers, I would be picking the Raiders here to bring that performance that the Tigers had last weekend with the upset. But I am going to back the Sharkies in this one. I thought Nico Hines played absolutely terrible in that game. And I don't think he's going to have back-to-back games like that again. There's a lot of outs up front, but they do have a very strong pack, and they've got a lot of guys in the middle there that will be ready to step up, though. And like I said, I just think this is a, if this is going to be a different Sharks team this year, these type of performances have got to happen. You can't be coming off a loss against the Tigers 1 week and then fold against the Raiders at home as well. Something's got to switch. So I'm going to back them here. I'm just going to take them head-to-head, yeah.
Okay. I like the reasoning. And the Sharks, if they are going to be serious contenders, they do need to bounce back and win this game. But I think the Tigers kind of laid out a perfect Canberra blueprint to beat the Sharks. And is why the Canberra Raiders have been so successful against this Shark style for the last 10 meetings. Because, you know, they just use their solid forward play to play very direct, complete at a high rate, And typically the Sharks make errors when they're forced to try play out of their own territory, which the Canberra Raiders have shown they can dominate territory. They were actually probably at least tied or maybe up a little bit on the Warriors in terms of territory at the back end of the first half. And then for a lot of the second half, they had a lot of territory on the Warriors. So their forward pack can put the Raiders in positions to, you know, really suffocate the Sharks. And, you know, I just got to go off what I last saw, and that was the Sharks going back to what we saw last year and struggling to get out of their territory when it's not going right and making a lot of errors. So with three more strong forwards and Finucane, Hunt and Rudolph, and still missing Hamuelli out, I think the Raiders are going to get this one done. And Raiders only concede an average of 14 points, so it's not like the Sharks are going to cut them up either. I know they're extremely dangerous in the strike zone, but yeah, I like the Raiders. I just think the Raiders have their number, and it's a perfect matchup for them. So I'm going to back the Raiders 1-12 at $3.60 to win another close game against them.
Yeah, I like it. Now, I got my head, my heart out of the way earlier. I'm going to get my head into this one with the best bet. So like any good fucking punting degenerate, I've just told you I'm going to be taking the Sharkies. But my best bet for this game, since round 8, 2022, every team that has lost to the Tigers has gone on the following week to lose again, besides the Penrith Panthers. So this has happened 6 times. I'm going to say the Raiders continue the streak. They get the jobby done here, and I'm going to take them head-to-head at $2.60.
Okay.
Now the Eels, they take on the Tigers at Combank Stadium. The Eels are $1.44 favourites. The Tigers, $2.80 underdogs, with the line sitting at 6.5. Are the Eels, Moses out for them, Brown into halfback, and Blaise Talangi will take on the 5-8 role. Cartwright, he has been named despite broken ribs, and Sivo will return for them.
Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to have some injections in the side of that one. So,
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if he actually does play. They will probably have just named him, see how he goes throughout the week, whether he can actually manage the the pain. Super exciting to see Blaise Talangi. I thought he was fantastic in the centre role for them. Moving into that 5-8 role, I think it was Rabbi Guru was talking about. He sees a potential where he could even eventually shift from the centres into the fullback position moving forward, which could shore up this X-factor issue that they have with Clint Gutherson as we go over the next couple of years. But yeah, I'm excited to see him in at 5-8 and Dylan Brown at halfback. Same 17 for the Tigers as from last week. Why change it when it's working? Now, the Tigers have a 34% win rate here, having won 13 of their 38 matches. The Eels have also won 9 of their last 10 matches against the Tigers. 4 of the last 5 matches played here between them, though, have also been decided by a 1-12 result, which kind of gets you thinking with the ins and outs. The Tigers showed when they can use the offload to their advantage, they can play on top really, really well, and they strip the Sharks fantastically through the middle. Epi Coruscal, absolutely fantastic game. Reassured, he's probably going to be, if he keeps putting these performances forward as we lead up to State of Origin, he's going to be the number 9 for them. Yeah, just fantastic. And seeing those young guys go with him, Jareem Buller, absolutely fantastic. Stefan Utukamanu, he was absolutely exceptional. And we touched on Lockie Galvin earlier. I'm excited for the Tigers. I'm going to be picking the Eels in this one just off the back of the pack. But the kicking game, Moses going out as well. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good game to end on for us. But yeah, I'll be taking the Eels here.
Yeah, our mind's in the exact same place as this one because both teams were incredibly gutsy last week on the back of their forward packs. The Eels have won the last 2 games, scoring 28 on both occasions, but they were only 1-12 margins. So these teams do match up pretty strong in the forward packs, and they do always have close games. But I think the Eels are going to win this game off the strength of theirs if they have a little more X factor than the more working direct pack of the Tigers. The Tigers are live if they play as accurate as they did last week because the Eels do push offloads. The Eels can make mistakes and they can, you know, put themselves under a lot of pressure. They're also not the best at giving away turnovers. They give away a lot of those. So the Tigers are live, but I think the Eels, you know, at home, But Talangi, like you said, he's one of Roy's spotlight players. He had a good game last week, and he has also played in the halves position as a junior, so he should be all right in that position. But I think it's going to be somewhat low scoring with the Eels edging it out on the back of that forward pack. I've got Eels 1-12 to go 3 from 3 out of the last 3 in terms of results. $2.88, they should get that done.
Nice. My best bet for this one, Mike Acevo. He's scored 4 tries in his last 3 games against the Tigers. I like him to go over here in his first game back in 2024, and you can get him at $2.05. Recapping off the best bets from this one, I've gotten fucking real greedy in here. I'm just looking at them now, and it is just littered with try scorers. So if you want some jam, there it is. Stats behind it. Dylan Edwards, anytime try scorer, $4. Latrell Mitchell, $2.55. Jeremiah Nanai against the Broncos, $3.75. Himoli Olakau'atu at $3.10. Either team, 1-12 in that Finns Titans game at $1.80. DWZ, anytime try scorer, lock him in for 2, lock him in for 3, whatever the hell you want. That one's $1.87. Raiders, head-to-head at $2.60, and Mike Acevo to cap us off at $2.05 there.
Yeah, and I've gone a little more conservative than you have. I've gone Roosters head-to-head at $1.57, Rabbitohs head-to-head at $1.48, Cowboys head-to-head at $1.80 to cap off the 3 ugly ones. You might have to use 365 if you want to use both of these, but I've got Sea Eagles 13 plus at $2.30 or total points over 45.5 at $1.76. I've got the Dolphins to cover the -2.5 line at $1.97. The Warriors to cover the -6.5 line at $1.90. Raiders to win 1-12 at $3.60. And then finally, Eels to win 1-12 at $2.88.
Nice. Now we move into the repeat sets in the 40-20. So we'll kick it off with the repeat set. Short little one. It's our lock of the week. Nice little grabber kicker, and we're looking for a repeat set, something that you can use next week. Now, Blake Wilson, he scored a hat-trick the last time that the Bulldogs played the Rabbitohs. I like him here for 1, so that's where I'm going to lock him in at, and you can get him anytime try scorer at $2.55 for a winger up against this Bunnies pack. I think that's some absolute value for Jam.
Yeah, and I'm going for 3 for 3 on repeat sets. I'm putting a lot of pressure on the try line. Dolphins -2.5 at $1.97. I really like the value that they present this week, so I'm going to back them to be my repeat set bet.
Nice, and we move into the 40-20s, so looking for a long raking punt here, something that's going to kick it deep, something that's going to bring something home for us. Nice and juicy. Now, I've been going 2 try scorers and a head-to-head lock in this one, and I went for the same odds, but when we got to the 2 try scorers before the head-to-head, we'd almost blown the budget on double, so I'm just going to lock it in with 2 try scorers. We're sticking with the degenerate greediness of just picking all of these guys to score all of these tries this season, this round. And we're going to go Dallin Watene-Zelezniak into Jeremiah Nanai, anytime try scorers at $7.01. Nanai's got a fantastic record against the Broncos. I really like them to lead on with some fantastic attacking in this one. He might get a little grubber, he might get a little kicker, he might get a nice little short ball. And I think DWZ is going to be their anchor for that one. So yeah, 40-20 bet, $7.01. We're back in the in goal, and we're going to turn the game from this one.
Yeah, and I haven't quite been getting my 40-20s angles right so far. I'm looking for my first hit, but this week I got a couple good ones for you. Manly 13 plus, I think that's a real good bet here, $2.25. And then the Warriors, -6.5 at home at $1.90. I couldn't quite get it on the nose with a $4.20 bet value, but I've got $4.27, slightly more, so no one should really complain about that. But hopefully that comes through and we get a good 40-20 out of it. Cherry Evans style.
Yeah, nice. I like it. Good one to end on there, Manly. They'll get that one done. That finishes up our round 4 preview and recap for that one. So we'll see you guys all next week. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. Sorry about the delay on this one. We had some technical difficulties last week. So bear with us as we work through it. But we are back. It sounds better than ever. My man, your man, Jordan Tana, thank you very much for that. And we'll see you guys all next week. Peace.
Up the Waz.